everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. On today's show, I have Danette May as my guest. Now, just a note, this is actually one of our few remaining legacy episodes that I recorded when we were Fitfluential Radio. So you may hear some mentions of Fitfluential Radio on this interview. We should be finished up with making the rest of those shows that got lost in the shuffle when we changed over live very soon. But this, I do remember interviewing this woman and also reading her book. She's really an exceptional human being who has a tremendous story of kind of just life hitting her. And I can relate with every conceivable letdown you can imagine and fighting back and deciding to make something of her life, and not just something, but something big. A few little clips from her official bio on her website. She is the founder of Mindful Health LLC and the Rise Movement, and that's the name of her book. We'll link up to it in the show notes. She is a world-renowned motivational speaker, number one best-selling author of 7 health and women's empowerment books, former celebrity trainer, wife, and a mother. She shared her unique, inspiring message on national television, including Access Hollywood, Hallmark, Home and Family, CBS, and many others. In this episode, we had a really great discussion, and she's very much an advocate of spreading the self-love message. And that, obviously, it's something a lot of us hear about, but if you really haven't taken the time and you're still one of those women like I was until recently who is constantly beating yourself up in your own head, right? Negative self-talk, talking down to yourself, around other people, self-deprecation to an extreme, thinking that you can never reach your goals, thinking that you're a failure, thinking just negative thoughts about yourself all the time instead of treating yourself the way that you would somebody else that you were trying to help and encourage. It makes such a huge difference in your life. So this, if you're listening to this and you hear self-love and you think, oh, that's a bunch of hoo-ha, or, you know, of course I love myself. You know, there really is a marked difference in your life when you decide to treat yourself with the love and respect that you deserve and that you probably are giving to everyone else around you. So we talk about her journey from extreme dieting and kind of punishing her body to get it fit, which is something very common for a lot of women, myself included, and her transition from that into one where it was more treating her body like the temple that it is, caring about it from an emotional or spiritual perspective with self-love, but also just treating her body with love from, you know, nourishing it with nutrition and so on. It's a complete different approach. What we're all trying to move towards. And what I want to have more women like this on the show so that we, all of us ladies who have been doing the extreme dieting, have been beating ourselves up for how we look and that we're not a size zero, we don't weigh 110 pounds. We can get out of that completely destructive mindset and into one that is more constructive and loving. Because the more that, yeah, I'm going to sound like Oprah here, the more that we really love ourselves and are in a happy place with our fitness, health, and wellness journey, the more that we can really help other people. We can show up more for other people in our lives when we're putting ourselves first and we're treating ourselves the way that we would expect to treat other people. So sit back and enjoy. I know you'll love this interview with Danette May.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I am pleased to welcome Danette May. Danette is the author of a new book that's just out, and when I tell you the title of this, you'll know why I'm so excited to have her on the show. Her new book is called The Rise, An Unforgettable Journey of Self-Love, Forgiveness, and Transformation. So, Danette, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kelly, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I am thrilled and very excited because when I saw the title of your book, people that have been following me personally and certainly have been listening to Fitfluential Radio know we've been talking a whole lot about the importance of self-love. And it's something that people probably hear a lot about. And many, like myself, a year or so ago, were like, self-love, what's that all about? So we'll get into that in a second. But usually what I like to do is when I have guests on the show for the first time, I always like to give our audience an introduction to you. So, you know, obviously when they check out your website, they're going to see you're a beautiful woman. You're a very healthy, obviously fit woman. How did you first get into a fitness or a healthy lifestyle? When was that for you and why?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I was raised with four brothers. So I've always had this element of fitness or movement in my life, right? And I thought I always knew what movement was and what fitness was and what eating healthy was. But it wasn't until I really hit my rock bottom, my very first rock bottom, which was losing my son and going through a depression, that I truly got it on a cellular level, the power of movement in healing you on a very cellular level from pain and from past pain, as well as really waking you to your power. So it took my fall for me to really change. But prior to even my fall, I was a trainer, you know, I was giving out nutrition advice, but I would say that my true genius really emerged from my pain.
You know, and that I can certainly speak in a different context that it is horrible when you're going through it. We can always all look back, I think, retrospectively at some of the toughest times and the lowest times in our lives. I can reference, I remember at the time in 2006 or 2007, my divorce. I thought at the time that was the worst thing that had ever happened to me. And certainly I can now say that the past 2 years were, they made that look like, you know, preschool. And yet each one of these most awful times in my life and experiences when I was lower than low and feeling desperate and void of hope, that's when, because I chose to embrace the lesson, that's when I became a better person progressively over time. So I can absolutely relate to power being in the pain. If you choose to accept it, would you agree there's a lot of people who don't understand that things happen, they don't happen to us, they happen for us.
No, your pain is your power. Your pain is your gift. And a lot of us are running from our pain. We're running from our sorrow. We're running from our darkness when I'm like, that is your opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even something happened and it was in a business context for me last week, but you know, it was a client that ended up going a different way. And it was not really a no to me or my services. It was more, oh, this happened and we can't do what we planned on. And I remember my first reaction was, oh man, I can't believe this. I put all this work into this. And instead I immediately, because of changing my, I've made it a point to change my reaction to things that happen and realize like, and actually there was a book I read on vacation. You and I were talking about Park City. I think it was called The Art of Being Mindfully Zen, something around that. And they said, look at everything that happens to you as if it's the best possible thing for you. Mm-hmm. And even though it's hard, even though it can be disappointing, it can be the best possible thing. Because in this case, losing that client opportunity helped me focus more on my new business venture because that's where my attention needs to go, not on my old business venture. So perspective changes everything. Tell me in your case, you know, you've alluded to hitting rock bottom and you've alluded to losing a son, which I can't even comprehend what that would be like. I've never had kids of my own, but I think of anything happening to any of my nieces or my nephew. And I just,
yeah,
pain is beyond. So are you okay talking about that?
Absolutely. And the reason I'm okay with it, I came to terms with this, is because I've realized it's part of my healing. And this is part of the story of the rise in the book, is that it's time for us to stand on top of our stories. And when I say stand on top of them, it's giving voice to them. And it's sharing, because in the sharing, we recognize we're not alone. And it's in the sharing and the vulnerability that we gain more self-love. So you just mentioned earlier, like, what is this self-love thing? And I think we throw that word around like it's something we all should just know about, and it's so elusive. And to me, I'm just saying right now, it's our vulnerability that equals more self-love. And so, yes, I'm super open to talking about it.
I agree with you. I'm taking copious notes here. I have found that the more I know I've always been very authentic on social media. When I got on social back in, I think, 2007 when I started blogging, and then I got on YouTube. And one of the things I love is when people meet me in person, they say, oh my God, you're just like your videos, or you're just like your Facebook. I've always been myself. But on the other hand, I've been very guarded about certain things that have happened to me. And I found that, just to what you said, when I have been vulnerable, when I have let myself cry on this podcast about my hormonal journey and how it has been so hard on me, and I'm embarrassed about this and that, and frustrated and tired of being sick. And when I share that on social media, on Instagram, and I tell people what I'm going through, how I feel, emotional eating issues, whatever it is, the more vulnerable I am and the more like raw that I share with people, like, hey, this is what my brain's going through right now, and I want to give up every single day. And I've shared stuff like that. I get more women who will respond to that and say, thank you so much for sharing that. And that truthfully keeps me going, because I know there's other women out there that are inspiring me to keep going. And so the more that we share, you're right, it helps you understand a bigger context to your suffering. You know, there's a way that you can use your suffering and what you've been through to help other people. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it really, you sharing, yes, you're opening up the context for others, but you're opening up the context that you're like, wow, I shared this dirty, dark secret of mine and I'm still loved. And when you do that and realize, oh my gosh, I'm still loved, it just opens up more windows and more pathways for you to love yourself.
Amen. Well, tell us, you know, when was this for you that you're hitting rock bottom, and what, you know, what was the journey that took you from hitting rock bottom, having this horrifying thing happen in your life, to getting on the path of healing?
Yeah. You know, you guys, I have to say, I want to back up just a little bit, Kelly, because I think people are like, okay, what's this journey? I think a lot of people hear this, because like 5 years, there's been this gap from losing my son, depression, going through a horrific divorce, finding 47, you know, literally having $47 to my name, raising two daughters on my own, to now this eight-figure business, married to the man of my dreams, like operating in this radical self-acceptance. Like, what is that, you know? And I want to share that everybody has their own journey. And for me, it's called the gap, because it wasn't like one day I was like, oh, I'm going to drastically change my life. It's been moment by moment. It's been doing the small needlepoint movements. I love this quote, and it's in my book. It's actually one of the chapter titles. It's called Small Hinges Move Big Doors. And it's because we have these big doors we want to open up in our lives. We have these big dreams that we want to step into. But to open that big door, it's the small micro needle movements you're willing to do every single day, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel motivated or you're in a funk or not, that are actually going to take you to that next level. It's going to move your big door. So for me, that gap was showing up for myself when I especially didn't want to, and really stepping into certain decisions. And I call them non-negotiables, and I still do it to this day. I will never let go of this principle, because I've watched it completely catapult my life. And I know it not only catapults mine, because now I have this eight-figure business helping millions of women do the same, and I'm watching it happen in their lives as well.
I love what you said, because yeah, I know what I was like a couple of years ago. And if I heard certain things, I did. If I heard self-love or mindfulness, I'm like, oh my God, you know? And even though I was going to yoga class and I would hear some of my friends talk about any of these terms, I didn't get it. And I know a lot of people can hear certain terms or yeah, that this person, you know, they had all of these difficulties and they might skip and they might not realize, like you just shared, that there was a 5-year gap between when you hit rock bottom and when you got to this next point where you're loving life. And the truth is, I agree with you. I don't think most of us are going to get up one day and go, okay, my father died or my spouse died yesterday, and here's what I'm going to do over the next 5 years. And we don't know. But the point is, yeah, learning, I think, embracing and learning the lesson that the pain teaches you. And many times it happens over months, over years. It certainly has been my experience. Mm-hmm. But if you choose to work through the pain, if you choose to accept the lessons and go, okay, why did this happen for me? You know, what is this forcing me to look at? You will absolutely transform. It's almost as if, in my opinion, you can't transform for the better if you choose to embrace the lesson. And so I love that you shared. It wasn't like, oh, I just woke up and suddenly had this enlightenment moment and my whole path ahead of me was right there. It was a process for you. And it was a bunch of small decisions, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. How did you, when I was looking at your website before we got on the call, you talk a lot about on your website, healing foods, healing movement, and healing mindset. And when we first chatted, I said, oh, I'm so excited to understand your point of view on this, because there's a lot of people in the fitness, health, and wellness space who don't look at getting healthy or getting fit or learning what to eat from a healing perspective. Often fitness can, and I shared with you, I come from a background of undereating and overtraining and damaging my body. I was never looking at healing myself. And healing is a really powerful word. So what was it in your journey? When did that start that you started looking at health as from a healing perspective versus diet and deprivation and punishment that a lot of people do in fitness, whether they realize it or not?
Yeah, this happened in my fall. So, you know, I was a trainer for many years before I lost my son, and I was teaching people about reduced fat, wheat thins, and soy milk, and eating less, and working out more, and all of these concepts that you're trained in school, right? And to a degree, they can help you, to a degree, and it's a very small degree. And then I found that when I went through my rock bottom, I was in depression. Like, I had never faced depression before. I was this outgoing fitness girl and I couldn't even get out of a bed for 3 months. So I was faced with this depression. And I remember walking around the block for my very first time. You know, I just had a baby. Like, I had showed all the signs. I could barely move my body. On top of it was massive depression and shame and guilt and wondering what's next for me. And I remember just taking a shuffled walk. It wasn't even like a power walk around the block, just fighting this resistance of getting out and moving, fighting this resistance to just walk around the block. And as I was doing it, I was just like feeling my heart just start to crack open. And it was this really profound aha moment as tears were starting to come out that I had been trying to shove in and trying to figure out this darkness that I was in. And I was like, oh my goodness, like it is so true. Like movement is what's going to heal me. Movement is what's going to crack me open. And it's movement, why no one wants to do it and why we have this ego war with it every day of like, should I go out and work out? Should I not? Is because our ego's trying so hard to keep us from moving. Because as soon as we move, we open up our soul. We open up the cobwebs of our soul. And we start to truly heal on a cellular level, not just in our organs, not just in our blood, but on a cellular level. And also the remembrance of past pain starts to come out and take hold and release out of the system. And that's when the word healing really started to ingrain in me that I was now going to move just to heal my shame and my guilt and my unconscious behavior that I had built up to get to where I was in that moment.
You know, what you said really struck a nerve with me in a good way, because I think about a lot of what I've been through, and I've shared with people several times on the show, and just people that know me know that for myriad reasons, the past couple of years of my life have been really two of the worst years of my life ever, in many contexts. And there were times when I felt, you know, and it was my health, it was my business, it was family, it was betrayal. It was just, I could go on and on and on. But all of those things have created wonderful transformation in me. And now I'm stepping into a new chapter. I've met the love of my life. I'm actually launching right now two new businesses. So it's all those tough lessons are for the better because I embraced it. But on the other hand, I remember so with such clarity that during that time, I felt so down and so mentally paralyzed and emotionally drained and fatigued that I didn't want to leave my house. And I certainly didn't want to go to the gym. I didn't even want to go to yoga, which has always been very healing for me, just restorative, mentally and physically. And I think that I'm wondering if you agree that a lot of people, when they're going through emotionally bankrupting times and high anxiety, high stress, that they can feel, I hadn't even really used that word before, mentally paralyzed. And when you're mentally paralyzed and you just are scared and full of stress, I think that for me, I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want to move. And I don't even think it was conscious, but I certainly know that there were a lot of friends that were like, you've got to get out of the house. You've got to just get up and move. You've got to go for a walk. And it was the few times that I was in those spots when I would just get out and get some fresh air and go for a walk, I felt so much better. Do you think a lot of people get into that, the mental paralysis gets into where they're scared of movement as well?
Oh, absolutely. You're hitting on it, bang on. And the big thing to know, guys that are listening, is that you're not alone in the fact that you don't want to move, that you're feeling this paralysis, you're feeling this fear, that you're feeling this unmotivation. And the thing is, you're not going to wake up and go, I feel motivated or I feel better. You have to move. You have to get out and just do a walk. It's as simple as that. It may not be a class. It may not be yoga. You may not want to be seen, but nature is always waiting with its arms open. Get out and walk.
And what is the saying? I always mess this one up, but something about a body at rest will always want to stay in rest.
Body in motion. Yeah.
And it really is true. I mean, if you look at it just from, you know, feeling motivated to work out, I've always noticed and it's been a while, knock on wood, since I've had a cold, but if I were to get a cold and be, you know, out for the count for 3 or 4 days, when you get out of the habit of regularly working out like you're used to, say you're usually working out 5 days a week, and then you get sick and you're out and you're laying on the couch watching Netflix for 4 days, you're naturally not going to be inclined that next day that you feel great. I don't know about you, but I would be convincing myself to not work out because my body is used to being like a sloth and sitting on my couch all day. So there has to be that moment where something shifts in you. And I can just for sure say it's my opinion and my experience, getting outside in nature is something that always refreshes me. Staying inside, locked up in my apartment, hiding and staying alone with my problems doesn't get me anywhere. And you mentioned shame and guilt, and you know, your book is talking a lot about self-love and forgiveness. And I don't think people understand or take the time to be introspective enough to even walk through what they're feeling. You know, if it's in the case of you lost a son, if it's divorce, I've been through divorce too, if it's financial problems, people don't give themselves enough credit to figure out what it is that they're feeling so that they can deal with it. And I think a lot of people do have shame and guilt feelings about anything, about the way their body looks, about losing a job, about being embarrassed about that. And they don't even, I don't think, probe deep enough within themselves to figure that out. Do you agree with that? And how did you start to figure out what it was that you were feeling in like the dark times of your life so you could get past it?
Yeah, I want to take a step back with the word shame. It's like you don't even have to experience what we would deem as shame in this lifetime, like losing a job or losing a spouse or having this
event present itself, shame is running through our DNA, especially as women. It's been passed down ancestrally, this feeling of shame. And so you can actually feel shame. You can feel, and shame is so much deeper than guilt. Shame is like a hard one to unlayer and unpack, but you can feel that unworthiness or shame without anything going in particularly wrong or feel dark in your life. So I think it's important to recognize that if you feel those feelings, to know that it's a very DNA ancestral feeling, and it's really normal to feel those things. And I think too, just to say, like, cause I think people are like, well, what did you do? You know, what did you do to kind of step out of that? And for me, the first step was radical honesty. And the reason I say radical honesty is because I had to go deep into the layering of the stories I was telling myself, and basically really realizing, what are these stories that I'm telling myself based off my upbringing? Because a lot of us are operating based off the truths of society, the truths of what we were raised to believe, the truths of what media, social media, TV is telling us of what we should be enjoying, what we should be liking. If you watch any commercial or you're ingrained with any of the news, you're basically a product of whatever they're telling you you should like. So what do you really like? What is your truth? What is your honesty? And really looking at it in different categories. So for me, I took it from my relationships. What's my truth about a relationship? A lot of times we think we're supposed to be with someone because everyone told us we were supposed to be married by X and X time. Is that really your truth? Or do you not want to be? Do you want to be more nomadic and just have a, you know, what is your truth in relationships? What's your truth in finances? What's your truth in career? What's your truth in fun times, things that light you up? And just really dive into different categories of your life and unpack, what were you taught to believe you should love and you should do versus what really lights you up? And you'll know what lights you up by where your curiosity lies. So for example, we're taught as women, we should truly, we're kind of taught like shoes, clothes, jewelry, rings on your finger are kind of these needs. Like if you look at marketing, they kind of tell you that. And then you're like, well, I got the shoes and I have these nice clothes, but I'm not happy. Why am I not happy? Because that doesn't light you up, and you've been taught that it should, and then you got it and it doesn't light you up. So really looking at your honesty of going, what really lights me up, you know, and being really truthful with yourself about it.
I freaking love what you said about radical honesty, because it's a catchy phrase, but the truth is, and then what you said next about finding it, really, it's to me, the way that I would say it is, you're uncovering your conditioning, and our conditioning, any of us, can come from parents. It can come from, like you said, messages in the media. It can come from all of those things combined. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, when you are radically honest with yourself, it can be, I remember sharing with a friend of mine, and sometimes being radically honest, it's that vulnerability. You have to be vulnerable and be able to share things that might, you know, you might feel awkward sharing. And one of the things, I won't get into too much detail, but a friend of mine was really catapulting forward with her business. And it was in the midst of when I was experiencing every chaotic disappointment I could possibly imagine with my business. And the truth is, when I would see some of her posts on social media, I had this angry feeling. And the next time she and I talked, I said, you know what? I have to be honest with you. When I saw this post and you shared this, I was jealous. And I'm not proud to say that, but I was pissed at you. And I had to come to terms with why. Like, and being able to see that I was jealous. I don't consider myself a jealous person or a covetous person. And I was able to like work through that and go, okay, you know what? Her success doesn't mean there's less left for me. Mm-hmm. And being able to be honest with somebody and go, you know what? That made me really jealous, but I'm so happy for you and I'm past it. Like, that's radical honesty that can then help you change your behavior. Is that the type of radical honesty you're talking about?
Because yeah, that's one element of the radical honesty. So when you heard Kelly talk about this, what her honesty was that she was like, I'm feeling this, so I'm actually going to tell my friend I'm feeling it and let it pass through me because I don't want it to take hold or take root, I'm going to just let her know and that I send her love even though I've had these feelings. That's one level of honesty. But if you want to go a little deeper, this radical honesty is even deeper. It's Kelly now looking at it and going, oh my gosh, I actually want success. I am actually not jealous. I'm inspired by this success. I'm seeing all these things that people are doing that I want to be doing. So that's my clue. That's my gift. That's my next in my life. And that being honest, because if you're jealous, if we use the word jealous, or you're inspired by something, that means that's for you. That's the curiosity that I'm talking about. That's your next level of going, this is actually what I want too. This is actually what lights me up too, is something within business. And unlayering that, because another form of this whole self-love model is looking at what you're judging. Because whatever you're judging is your opportunity to look back at yourself and go, ooh, why am I judging that or feeling a lower vibration towards that, which can be labeled as judgment, jealousy, anger, all sorts of different emotions can come up, but that is actually just a form of judgment, right? So looking at it and going, ooh, this is actually my invite zone. Why am I feeling this? And where in my life is it either calling me to step more forward into it, or maybe there's a part of me that actually is living this? So if we were in the context of business, but if you were, say, like you're judging someone in their type of relationship, maybe they have an, I'm going to go big right now, they have an open relationship and you're like, I cannot believe they do that. That's just so not me. But you're taking time to judge it and you're taking time to talk about it and gossip about it. Maybe look at that. Maybe look at that. Maybe there's something inside of you that you don't want to unlayer that you actually might like that. I don't know. Like, that's such a big one, but it's like really looking at it and going, why am I judging this? Like, that is my opportunity to either look at this and go, maybe that lies within me, or there's been a past pain around this that I'm not even aware of that I get to heal so I can stop judging it.
I totally agree. And it's when you said earlier, find out what lights you up. That's so key. And I think back to a lot of the times, again, in these difficult times I've had the past couple of years, and I would have conversations with people that I trust as, I would just say, friend advisors, but business advisors as well. And they helped me talk through a lot of my issues. I felt trapped. I felt trapped, and I felt like I didn't know what to do. And as I would talk about some other things that I had become interested in, I had so many people say to me, people that didn't know each other, they would go, do you know how your voice changed when you talked about this, and your tone and your energy changed, and that's what excites you? And I'm telling you, when I started to pursue the things that have they light me up, as you said, that's when I'm seeing massive success and massive momentum. When I'm paying attention to what my gut tells me I'm called to do, I mean, I'm choosing to see myself differently because I've chosen to do a lot of what you shared here, which is I let go of all the conditioning and all the messages I heard from my family and that I chose to hear from the media. And I was really playing small for the better part of my life. And now I see myself differently, and a whole, I would say 50% of why I'm moving in a much better direction is because of choosing to love myself. And it's been hard because it's taken a lot of help with my therapist, and I recommend that to everybody. I think I can't wait to read your book because I'm sure it's going to be phenomenally helpful to me. But if you don't love yourself and you are judging yourself and beating yourself up every day, that's a bad place to be. Physically, it manifests in health problems, and mentally, you'll just stay stuck. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think this is when I speak on stages, people always gasp at my story of losing my son, and then gasp when they find out that my ex took all our money and I was left with $47 to my name. And I'm like, you know what? That stuff's not even the hard stuff. The worst part of all of that was my head full of negativity around myself. Like, I was constantly berating myself of being a terrible mother, being a financial ruin, not amounting to anything, not being enough. And to me, that's the greatest heartache. That's the greatest downfall, is when a human gets to that level. And we've all been there, so don't have shame on it. But that is your greatest work, actually, is that story that you're constantly telling yourself that's a massive lie. It's a massive, massive lie. And our bodies go the direction of our words and our thoughts. So it's time to rewrite your story.
Mm, You've had like everything you've said, Danette, is a truth bomb. It really is. And I can tell you, if you're listening to this and you have any type of like head tilt moment of, okay, everybody's talking about self-love and find your truth, please don't be skeptical. Cause I was that girl that was skeptical of talk like this or discussion like this a couple of years ago. And I can tell you that becoming more introspective and really doing the hard work on myself and embracing these difficult lessons that have come with the dark times in my life. And I know the dark times that many of you are going through, trust me, it can be so overwhelmingly transformative mm-hmm. from a positive perspective. Your entire life can change. And maybe that you know, your area of success might not be starting a business or writing a book like Danette did. Your calling might be completely different. You'll find your own definition of success and happiness and joy. But just know that it's out there for you. That healing is something you should be pursuing. And Danette, I can see that we are, I mean, it feels like we just barely began our interview, and I want to have you back because I love everything you're speaking to, but I feel like we barely scratched the surface. But that said, I've got to respect your time today. So tell people, I want you to, in closing, tell people a little bit, give them a trailer, a verbal trailer for your book, The Rise, An Unforgettable Journey of Self-Love, Forgiveness, and Transformation. Tell them where they can find you online and where they can buy the book and when. Because I think it's just out now. Am I correct?
Yes, it's just launched about 10 days ago. And that means it's in every Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. People are buying it in South Africa. It's at most major bookstores. And I have to tell you, it's number one on Amazon. And it's been there for the past 3.5 weeks, even before it launched. And it is really the journey that we are all meant to be. We're all meant to rise up into our fullest expression. We are all meant to stand on top of our stories, take our pain and make it our gift, take our mess and make our message. And it's truly this raw, vulnerable account that of stories I haven't shared with anyone before, because I felt it was time, as women in particular, that we come together in our vulnerability, in our authenticity, and really share our stories. And really, when we stand in our stories and stand on top of our stories, we have the potential to fully rise up. And so it's an invitation for you to really step into what is your truth, where do you need to forgive, where's your curiosity, and the exact tools I took that I give to you for free inside the book to rise up into your fullest expression.
I love it. I can't wait to read it. And I think you're an exceptional human being. I loved learning from you, and I can't wait to have you back. For everybody listening, we will link up to her site and also where you can buy the book on Amazon. If you have any questions about this episode, feel free to email us, podcast@fitfluential.com. We certainly encourage you to connect with Danette directly on her sites and certainly go out and get the book. I think that would be a great gift idea. The holidays are coming up. For just about anybody. I certainly know that I'm going to be doing that. I've got a couple people in mind already. So Danette, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here with you and everyone listening.
I mean, honestly, I think I'm going to be spending quite a lot of time on your website. And I don't just say that. Your conversation, everything you've written about is in perfect alignment with what I've been going through. And I know that I can learn from you, and so many in our audience can as well. So I really, really thank you for visiting with us today. For everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning in to Fitfluential Radio. We will see you next time.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this interview with Danette May. I hope you enjoyed it. Of course, we encourage you to connect with Danette directly. Get her books. They are wonderful, especially I've read the most recent one, The Rise, and it's exceptional. Absolutely loved it. In fact, I'm thinking now I'm going to go back and read it again. I don't know if you're like me, but I don't read books just once. It's kind of just like when I have a favorite movie, I'll watch it again and again and again. And same thing with books. But with books in particular, I don't do this with fiction books, but I certainly do it with personal development and business books. I will read them multiple times and get something different out of them each time. So if you've never done that before, think about it. Sometimes you can pick up a book you might have read earlier in your life or your career and pick it up later, and it can speak to you in a different way. So that's definitely something I'm planning having to do with Danette's book, but connect with her directly. If you have questions on this episode, anything in particular for me, you can email me directly, kelly@kellyalexa.com. You can also just simply fill out the contact me form on kellyalexa.com as well. Use the same methods to reach out to my team and I if you're interested in, one, nominating somebody that I can interview for the show in 2020, or two, if you are interested in inquiring about sponsorship opportunities for next year. I'm not going to be opening that up until next year, but we are taking select sponsors who are, I feel, an appropriate fit for this show. So thank you so much for tuning in. And you know, I'm going to ask it. I would love, love, love if you guys would take the time. If you're enjoying the show, we put a lot of time and money into producing this show for you so that you can learn and be inspired to improve your life. And we'd appreciate two things. If you would share the show with friends so that they can learn and benefit from the information. And number two, if you would go to iTunes and give us a rating, it's going to take you 2 to 3 minutes and you have no idea how much that will help this show grow and be seen and heard by more people. So thank you so much in advance, and we will see you next time on The Kelly O Show.